A message this morning is entitled, Sleepless in Susa. My scripture lesson will be taken from Esther chapter 6, verse 1 through 14. I invite you to turn there. We'll be seeing the scripture projected for us, but if you want to look in your own Bibles, do so. But before I begin, I want us to pray that God would give us the grace to understand this text and apply it to our lives. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we come to you hungry. We need to be fed by your word. We come to you as those who are confused because we live in a time and in a world where events don't seem to make sense. Oftentimes, our hearts and minds are filled with trouble and fear and tribulation at what we see. We don't know what the future will bring. We don't know whether mistakes we've made in the past can be rectified. Our hearts are troubled. Our minds race. Our lives seem to be out of control. But Lord, we come to you as a God who's all wise and all powerful, who neither slumbers nor sleeps, that we can see in this text the hidden hand of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we're gathered here this morning, the sun is setting or has set in the nation of Thailand. We know at least 21 families will be spending sleepless night tonight as they grieve and mourn the loss of loved ones shot in another mass shooting that so troubles our world. Or consider the little boy in Germany who will probably be lying awake tonight as he hears his parents arguing as they have night after night, as he sees before him and hears before him the evidence that their marriage is falling apart. Tonight, probably, there will be a woman, maybe an elderly woman who has children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, who worries about the future of this nation as she has witnessed this week unprecedented conflict, turmoil, and incivility in the political process of our nation. She fears for her children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. In a village in India, a congregation much like ours, yet much poorer, will be spending a sleepless night tonight. For their pastor was accosted by Hindu radicals. They don't know where he is, whether he's even alive. And they're gathering together in prayer for him. In the nation of Brazil, tonight a man and his wife will be spending a sleepless night worrying how they're going to make ends meet. For just last Friday, he learned out of the blue the factory that he works at was closing. He was ushered out, the gate was closed, and the padlock, the chain, shut the factory off from him forever. Oh, I could go on with story after story, because these are stories that we all identify with. We've all spent those sleepless nights. And this morning, we're going to look at a sleepless night. A sleepless night in a city called Susa. And so, now hear the word of God from Esther chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. On that night, the king could not sleep. He gave our orders to bring the book of the memorable deeds, the chronicles, that they would be read before the king. And it was found written how Mordecai had told about Bigthan and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs, who guarded the threshold, and how they had sought to lay hands upon the king. And the king said, "What honor or distinction has been bestowed upon Mordecai for this?" The king's young men who attended him said, "Nothing has been done for him." And the king said, "Who is in the court?" Now Haman had just entered the outer court in the king's palace to speak to the king about having Mordecai hanged upon the gallows that had been prepared for him. And the king's young men told him, "Well, Haman is there, standing in the court." The king said, "Let him come in." And so Haman came in, and the king said to him, "What should be done to the man whom the king delights to honor?" And Haman said to himself, "Whom would the king delight to honor more than me?" And Haman said to the king, For the man for whom the king delights to honor, let royal robes be brought, which the king has worn, and the horse that the king has ridden, and on whose head a royal crown is set. And let the robes and the horse be handed over to one who is the king's most noble officials, and let them dress the man whom the king delights to honor, and let him lead that horse on through the square of the city, proclaiming before him, 'Thus shall be done to the man for whom the king delights to honor.'" Then the king said to Haman, "Well, hurry, take the robes and the horses, as you have said, and do so to Mordecai the Jew, who sits in the king's gate, and leave out nothing that you have mentioned." So Haman took the robes and the horse, and he dressed Mordecai and led him through the square of the city, proclaiming before him, "Thus shall be done to the man whom the king delights to honor." And then Mordecai returned to the king's gate. But Haman hurried to his house, mourning with his head covered. And Haman told his wife Zeresh and all the friends everything that had happened to him. Then his wise man and his wife Zeresh said to him, "If Mordecai, before whom you've begun to fall, is of the Jewish people, you will not overcome him, but will surely fall before him." And while they were yet talking with him, the king's eunuchs arrived and hurried to bring Haman to the feast that Esther had prepared. In this story, we have a sleepless king. We have a sleepless villain. And we have a sleepless God. The sleepless king, of course, was King Ahasuerus, and he was having trouble, as we saw in verse 1, sleeping that night. We don't know what was keeping him awake. I happen to think it was, as we've been seeing throughout the book of Esther, the hidden hand of God. But whatever was keeping him awake, he was desperate to find a way to go to sleep. And he found a very, very effective way to go to sleep that night. For he had the Chronicles read to him. And I don't know how many of you have read Chronicles of Kings from the ancient world, but I have. Well, I'll be honest with you. I've read portions of it. I was a history major at the University of Missouri, and in one of my classes, one of my textbooks in my classes was a book entitled Documents from the Ancient World. And one reading was assignment to read these chronicles from Assyria, that they would recount all the great deeds of one of the Assyrian kings. If anything could put you to sleep, friends, that document could. And so it was probably one of those types of documents, and he wanted it to be read to him. But it so happened that as that was being read, that by chance, we know there's nothing by chance, by God's hidden hand. It so happened that night they read from the Chronicles how Mordecai had saved the king from two assassins. God was using this sleepless night to rescue the Jews. For this brings us to the second sleeping man, a sleeping villain. His name was Haman. I know the text doesn't exactly say that it was Haman, but if you read between the lines, you have to think he must not have gotten much sleep that night. Because in chapter 5, you see his wife and friends advising him to build these gallows to hang Haman on the very next day. Now, these weren't just your simple everyday gallows. This was a real building project. These were gallows that were 75 feet high. 75 feet high. And they were to be built the very next day. If any of you have ever built a house before, you know that you have to kind of stay on the contractor's back. And to get something like that done in a night meant he was probably awake supervising all their work to get the gallows made. And in addition to that, we find him in the court, standing in the court early in the morning. You know, sometimes it's not simply worry that keeps us awake, but it's excitement. And I can well imagine that Haman was just looking with glee for the opportunity to kill Mordecai, the man who had embarrassed him so greatly. And so we have him there in the court waiting, having spent a sleepless night. But oh, this is all not by accident, but by God's hidden hand. For as he walks into the court, he finds out the king hasn't been sleeping. And before he can say a word, the king asks Mordecai, what should be done for the man whom the king desires to honor? Oh, last week we talked about this man, Haman's vanity, and how it would be his downfall. Well, now we see. For it tells us very clearly that the first thing that pops into Haman's hand is, oh, who surely will the king honor but me? And so his mind races as to what would be the greatest way of having my name recognized and the greatest honor I could bestow. And he comes up with this elaborate plan for him to ride the king's horses, have the king's crown and robe upon him, and have a high official screaming out through the city's streets, this is what is done to the man whom the king desires to honor. But little did he know that the man who would ride that horse would not be him, but Mordecai. He himself would be the one shouting and yelling out, this is what is to be done to the man whom the king desires to be honored. Which brings me to a sleepless God. This is the bulk of the sermon, by the way, because I think this is where we need to look at. Have you ever considered, as I pointed out to the boys and girls, what a paradox sleep is? I mean, there's really nothing that's a greater waste of time. You can't do anything when you're sleeping. And to imagine that for the average person, a third of their lives is spent sleeping. A third of your life has been spent sleeping. And if you try to avoid the reality of this, you will find that if you don't get enough sleep, the few precious waking hours that you have will be wasted as well, because you'll be suffering from the effects of sleep deprivation. Do you realize that it's been estimated that billions of dollars are wasted each year because of lower worker productivity caused by sleep deprivation? We are a society that tries to stay awake. We're watching TV late at night, and we're killing ourselves doing so. But not only is sleep a paradox, it's highly theological. Because as I was suggesting to the boys and girls, I think it says a lot about God and a lot about us. Because nothing really highlights the differences between ourselves and God more than sleep. I want to read to you from Psalm 121, that psalm I mentioned to the boys and girls earlier. I lift my eyes to the hills. For where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made the heaven and the earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. God is sleepless. There were three sleepless people there in Susa that night. The king, Haman, and God. But God wasn't sleepless for the same reasons that the king and Haman were sleepless. No, God is sleepless because God never, never sleeps. He doesn't need to. He's beyond space and time. His power is so vast that nothing ever diminishes it. Imagine that. God's power is as great today as it was on the day that he created the universe. You think you have a problem God doesn't can't handle? You aren't considering the God who neither slumbers nor sleeps. Psalm 121 was composed, interestingly enough, as one of those psalms of ascent. If you can recall that far back when I did my series on the Psalms of Ascent were the songs that the people sang as they went up the hill, Mount Zion, to worship at the temple. It's a psalm that's designed to remind us how great God is, to remind us that God is our help. You know, I think we needed that reminder. I should have given you this reminder, like the psalm, before you even came here. But let me give it to you now. Maybe you were coming in the church today, driving in the car, Michaels, or driving down the street to the church. And as you're driving, your heart and your mind was still racing about the things you were sleepless about last night. Or the night before. You were worried. And we need to be prepared for worship. And one of the ways we prepare ourselves for worship, as Psalm 121 teaches us, is to know where our help comes from. Where does your help come from? Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the God who neither slumbers nor sleeps. You know, surely Mordecai and Esther learned this psalm when they were children. Mordecai probably spent a sleepless night that night. Can you imagine the noise and the racket that was going on in Susa as that gallows, that 75-foot gallows, was being built? I mean, they didn't have cranes and stuff. It would take an army of men to do this. They were hammering. They were sawing. They were shouting. They were working. I mean, there was hundreds of men working to build this great gallows. The whole city was disturbed. And Mordecai knew. Mordecai probably knew who that gallows was for. He needed to know where his fate lied. And it lied in the hands of God. The hidden hand of God. Where is your help? Where is your help? I want to close today talking about another city. Well, maybe not a city. A village. A borough, Carmichael's, sleepless in Carmichael's. What's been keeping you up at night? What are you worried about? What are you fearful of? What's heavy on your heart? It's been keeping you awake. Whatever it is, know this. There's been someone else awake all those nights you've been sleepless. It's God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For He neither slumbers nor sleeps. And as a Christian, the Bible promises us that that hidden hand that we've been seeing in Esther, that hidden hand is not only working to protect the Jewish people. It's not only working to protect Haman and Esther, but that hidden hand is still active today. Because as we read in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, "We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose." Do you love God? If you don't, it's time to do so. It's time to do so. You need to give your heart to God through Jesus Christ. You need to trust in God, your future, your worries, your concerns. Because His hand is at work. That hidden hand will either work to your eternal joy or your eternal woe. We see that hand at work in our story. On one hand, it was saving Mordecai and Esther. But on the other hand, it was bringing Haman down. It was bringing Haman down. Listen to the words of his wife and friends as they said this to Haman. Haman told his wife, Zeresh, and all his friends everything that had happened to him. And then his wise man and his wife Zeresh said to him, "If Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is of the Jewish people, you will not overcome him, but you will surely, surely fall before him." Oh, friends, God's hand is at work. And that hand will either lift you up or it'll bring you down. That hand is sleepless. And it is active. Today is the day to make sure that you have God's hand holding you up. Give your heart to Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Oh, Father God, we thank you that you neither slumber nor sleep, that you take care of your people and that you lead and guide them along life's journey. Oh, just like Mordecai and Esther, we may face terrible trials. Our lives themselves can be threatened. Enemies can rise up against us. But in all these things, your hidden hand is at work. And as we read in your word, in a mysterious way we can't see, you are working all things for the good of those who love the Lord. And so I pray that in all of our hearts, our love for you would grow this day by the grace and the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead. Amen. My friends, God will